Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, as we come this day, as we remember your baptism, as we remember our baptism, the waters that you have transformed, Lord, remind us of your great love for us and the plans that you have in store for us. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What's the deepest desire of your heart? What's your deepest need? What are the things that you spend your life chasing after? What's your heart's cry? I don't know if you've ever tried to put words to that or not. Psychologists and counselors and child development experts who have narrowed it down to these two things. It's our greatest needs are to be loved and to have a purpose. All people, regardless of their age, regardless of when or where they are born, regardless of how much they have or own or any of those other things, all people are looking for those two things, to be loved and to have a purpose. And those two things are the very things that our text today speaks to. See, our text today brings us to the baptism of Jesus. And it's a little bit of a strange transition. Last week, we were celebrating the arrival of the wise men to the infant Jesus. And this week, we're already at the baptism of Jesus and the start of his public ministry. A little quick transition there, but thus goes Scripture, right? It tells us what we need to know and not everything that we might want to know about the life of Jesus. And so we flash forward to the baptism of Jesus. Jesus is now about 30 years old. And in our text, Jesus comes to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. And John tries to prevent him. Now, baptism was not something that was unknown to the Jews. The Jews knew of it as something that the Gentile foreigners had to go through if they wanted to convert and become a Jew. These outsiders, these who were unclean, had to go through the waters of baptism to be cleansed enough to be welcomed among God's holy people. There's nothing new about that. What was new was John said the Jews needed to be baptized. It was not enough for them to claim that they had Abraham as their father. They too had become dirty by their sin, had become alienated from God, and they needed this water of baptism to wash them and cleanse them and bring them back into this right relationship with God. Lots of people were coming out, were being baptized by John for the repentance of their sin. And in among this crowd, as the news grew, some Pharisees and Sadducees showed up. Only John refused to baptize them. See, baptism is an act of repentance, but for these Pharisees and Sadducees, there was no repentance, no acknowledgement of the wrongs they had done and their need for God's forgiveness, and so John would not baptize them. And then Jesus comes, and Jesus wants to be baptized, and John wants to refuse him as well. It's not that there is no need, it's not that there is no repentance, but there's no need for repentance. And John doesn't fully understand who Jesus is yet. Nobody does until after his resurrection. But John knows at least enough to recognize that Jesus doesn't need repentance. Jesus hasn't done anything wrong. And in fact, as John stands in the presence of Jesus, John recognizes his own sin and his own unholiness and his own need for cleansing. And he wants Jesus to baptize him. But Jesus insists, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And we'll get to what that means in a moment. But for now, just know that it's enough for John to relent, and John consents to baptize Jesus. And then notice what happens next. Jesus is baptized, and as he's coming up out of the waters, Matthew says, the heavens are parted, and the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus in the form of a dove, and the voice of the Father speaks from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Here, in the baptism of Jesus, the presence, the existence of the Trinity is seen like nowhere else in Scripture. The Son, Jesus, the Holy Spirit in the form of the dove, the voice of the Father, all three present here in this one moment, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity. Beautiful picture of who God is. And listen to the words that God says. God the Father says to His Son. God says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." That singular statement is actually a compilation of two different well-known statements from the Old Testament, statements that most Jews would have recognized. The first is from Psalm 2:7. "This is my beloved Son." Description that was well recognized as a description of the coming Messiah, God's chosen one. And the second, "with whom I am well pleased," is a quotation from Isaiah 42:1 we read earlier today, part of the description of the suffering servant who would give his life for God's people. And so here in this one statement of God, we have two quotations, two certainties. The certainty that Jesus is the Messiah, the chosen one of God, and the certainty that the way of Jesus is the way of the cross. God the Father says to His Son, Jesus, that He is loved. That He is loved before He has done anything, because He's not yet begun His ministry. And He also said, God says, He also says that He has a purpose for Him to seek and to save the lost and to redeem them by His death on the cross. Jesus is loved, and Jesus has a purpose. But as I said before, Jesus has no need for baptism because He's the sinless Son of God. So why is Jesus baptized? Well, let's return to this phrase we mentioned a moment ago, to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus is baptized to fulfill all righteousness for us. Now, righteousness is a little bit of a churchy word. You don't hear that much outside of the walls of the church, but it can be understood, described as being in a right relationship with God. And you and I, because of our sin, are in a wrong relationship with God. Sin is a rebellion against God. It's a going against Him. And it drives this wedge between us and Him. Sin damages that relationship to the extent that there is nothing we can do to bring ourselves back into that right relationship with God. And so God sends His Son Jesus to live the perfect life that you and I were meant to live and don't live. God sends His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross to pay the penalty for sin that you and I deserve. And so through Jesus, you and I come back into this right relationship with God. A reading from Romans says that when we are baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into His death. We're united with Him in His death on the cross, and we're united with Him in His resurrection from the grave. We die with Christ so that we can live with Christ. He dies on the cross. We receive His eternal life. This is the restoration that God works in us through baptism. That means that baptism is more than just a symbol. And it's more than just our action. But when we come to these waters, the promise of God is that He is going to be at work here. That because of Christ's baptism in the Jordan River, that when we come to this fount, God promises that He will be active. Now, this is just ordinary water. This is not water that had to come from the Jordan River. It's not water that had to be blessed in some special format. When it gets low, Diana Mayfield comes and refills it. It's just ordinary water. Power is not in the water. The power is in the work of Jesus Christ, who in the River Jordan joined Himself to us, joined Himself to baptism, and changed baptism into this place that links us into the power and the grace and the forgiveness of God. So that when we come to these waters of baptism, it changes us. unites us with God. It joins us into the baptism of Jesus, and we receive His righteousness, His right relationship with God. And because Jesus is doing this for us, because He is fulfilling all righteousness for us, baptism is an invitation to the unrighteousness. See, the popular misconception of the church is the place for those goody two-shoes, those do-gooders who have their act together and they're always doing good deeds and they're always looking down their nose at all those others who are still struggling in life. That's a misconception. Because the church is the place for those who are unrighteous. The church is a place for those who recognize their faults and their failings, and who repent of that, and who recognize that they're not in this right relationship with God and desire that. And baptism is an invitation to those unrighteous to come to Jesus and to be joined into Him and to receive His forgiveness and grace and be made right by His power. It's an invitation to the unrighteous to come and be filled by Him. And because of that, because of Christ's work, baptism means that you are loved and that God has a purpose for you. What God the Father says to His Son Jesus in the waters of baptism of the Jordan, God the Father says to you, "This is my beloved child with whom I am well pleased." You are loved, and God has a purpose for you. These deep-seated needs that all of us have, that all of us strive to get filled in our lives, God speaks to them in the waters of baptism. You are loved, and you have a purpose. A few months back, I was going through a rough time, and I was struggling with several different things. And I remember talking with Rebecca, and I could not at that time have articulated in this way, what I'm struggling with is a need to be loved and a need to find my purpose. Couldn't say it in that way at that time. No, the only thing I could come up with was this heart cry of, I want to go home. Now, not like home to my house here in Western Shawnee and not home to my parents' house down in Texas. I want to go home to my Father's house in heaven. I want to be able to walk in and have my Heavenly Father walk up and wrap me up in a big bear hug and say to me, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." And you know, there is a part of that longing that will never be fulfilled in this life, on this side of the resurrection, because we'll always still be longing for that home, because this life is not our home. But when you go through those rough times, when you feel like you're beat down and worn out and maybe run over by life, because we all go through those times, when you're going through that time, I want you to remember the promise of baptism. And I want you to remember that those words are true for you. You are loved, and God has a purpose for you. So as a baptized child of God, live in His love. No matter how much you may think that you have messed up, no matter how much you feel like you have failed, you haven't measured up, you haven't been able to do enough, know that you are loved. Know that you have a Father in heaven who cares for you deeply. And He loves you not because of what you've done or what you haven't done, but because you have been joined to Him through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God has claimed you in the waters of baptism. And just like a father loves and cares for his children unconditionally, so your Father in heaven loves you and cares for you unconditionally. He is crazy about you. He rejoices over you, and he can't wait until he is able to wrap you up in that bear hug. So live in his love. And the second thing is this: as a baptized child of God, live in the newness of life. See, God loves you regardless of what you do, but he also has a plan and a purpose for you. He believes in you. Now, that sounds a little funny to say it that way, doesn't it? I mean, usually we say we believe in God, and the word doesn't quite mean the same thing, but God believes in you. In the same way a parent believes in their child, believes they can do good things, rejoices to see them grow up and to take on these new responsibilities and live into that purpose, just the way a parent believes in their child, so your Heavenly Father believes in you. He has a purpose for you. He has a plan for your life. He knows that you can do good things. And because he has joined himself to you in the waters of baptism, he is working in you to give you the power and the strength to live a new life, to walk in the ways of Jesus, to live into this purpose he has given you. And please note the order here. We don't walk in this new life and do these good things so that God will love us. That's not the right order. The order is this: God loves us before we've done anything. And then because of his love, because of his power at work in us, then we begin to do those good things. And we walk in this newness of life that he's prepared for us. And then finally is this: part of this new life is that we accept others in his love. Just as God has loved us and accepted us as we are, where we are, so we begin to love others and accept others and welcome others. God pours out his love on us in the waters of baptism so abundantly that that love begins to pour over from us into the lives of others. That's part of his plan. That's part of his purpose for us, is that we, as the recipients of his love, would then share that love out with others, that we would accept them and help them to come to know the love of this Father who wants to embrace them. So accept others in his love. My friends, God has joined himself to you in the waters of baptism. What he said to Jesus, he says to you. You are his beloved child with whom he is well pleased. So live in his love. Live in the newness of life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.